Welcome to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk with members of the Red Willow Band. The group was one of the most popular bands in the state from the mid-70s to the early 80s, and the original members are reuniting for weekend performances at the Sioux River Folk Festival. Plus, we'll talk with Rapid City artist Alex Eichler about his photography exhibition exploring tattoo culture. But first, concern over the loss of habitat has led the Twin Cities-based conservation group Pheasants Forever to open its first regional office in South Dakota. The group's longtime vice president of government affairs, Dave Nomson, has just opened new offices in Brookings and started work as the Pheasants Forever's first South Dakota director. He's been a supporter of the Conservation Reserve Program and helped create the State Acres for Wildlife Enhancement Practice, which allows states to create new wildlife conservation initiatives. Nomson is a graduate of South Dakota State University and served on the faculty of the Wildlife Department. He's been with Pheasants Forever since 1992, and he joins us on the line from Brookings. And Dave, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Good afternoon, Carl. Good to be here.
Well, does the new office in Brookings feel something like a homecoming for you?
It's actually been kind of fun driving around town and comparing things from the 70s to today. And, you know, there's some institutional places that are still here and recognizable, and places like Nick's Hamburger and George's Pizza and maybe Tim's Tap and others that were here in the 70s. But in some ways, I mean, the town's incredible. The campus is so different than what it was in the 70s, having doubled in size and enrollment, and lots of great changes as well.
And you were living, what, in Garfield, Minnesota, over by Alexandria before coming back to South Dakota?
Yes. Yep.
Now, And what were you doing over there for Pheasants Forever? You were you were involved with the government affairs side of Pheasants Forever?
Well, I was. I started as a regional representative working with our chapter base around the state of Minnesota. So the Garfield-Alexandria area was a perfect place to locate. And I started traveling so much doing national government affairs that I was able to let's say stay away from the Twin Cities national office just because of my travel schedule. So it was a great place to live, but it's also great to be back here in Brookings.
So why were you chosen to be the Pheasants Forever director here in South Dakota?
Well, I think a lot of it has to go back to my history here in South Dakota. I've worked very closely with the state's delegation in Washington, D.C., doing federal conservation policy and, you know, some of the biggest programs that impact habitat right here in South Dakota are federal farm programs like the Conservation Reserve Program. So a lot of years working on things like that and anxious to do a more targeted approach here in South Dakota.
Now, this is the first regional headquarters for Pheasants Forever?
This is. We've had a number of field staff, mostly in individual offices working out of their homes. And you might be aware we have a number of farmville biologists working closely out of NRCS offices here scattered around the state. But we haven't had one centralized state office, and we're really going to take a look at doing additional efforts to enhance South Dakota habitat for pheasants.
So why is it that at this point in time, Pheasants Forever decided to open this first regional office in South Dakota?
Well, South Dakota has been a worldwide premier destination for our members and all across the country. And, you know, as you might know, in the last few years, we've seen a large drop-off. The pheasant population is half of what it was just a few years ago here in South Dakota. We've lost 800,000 or 900,000 acres of CRP in the last few years, Conservation Reserve Program lands. We've seen several hundred thousand acres of native prairie converted, and pheasants are a grassland-focused species. So we're concerned about some of the recent trends, and we're going to try and come up with some innovative solutions for farmers and landowners.
Now, as the point person here in South Dakota for Pheasants Forever, are you essentially, you know, traveling around the state and meeting with the government officials and landowners and everyone who has an interest in one way or another regarding pheasants?
All of the above. This particular week, I've been traveling around the state meeting with our chapter base. I was in Pier last night and Rapid City the night before, and actually headed up the road to Wilmot tonight for meetings with our chapter volunteers, kind of the core of Pheasants Forever here in the state. But also been keeping an eye on the governor's task force that's working on pheasant habitat issues and listening to the discussion at those meetings, starting to meet with other groups to develop partnerships that can where we can work together on mutual needs for pheasants and pheasant habitat.
Before we continue, the group Pheasants Forever has been around since, about 1982. I'm wondering if you could give us an overview of Pheasants Forever and the work that the group has done over the years and the work that's being done today across the country.
Well, as you mentioned, we did start in 1982, and the group started primarily across southern Minnesota and northern Iowa, and it was formed in response to the fact that pheasants had literally disappeared from those landscapes. A bit oddly, South Dakota has been one of the states that, until recently, frankly, we kind of struggled with membership. I mean, but look at what the state had. You know, record high pheasant populations, substantial numbers of resident and non-resident hunters coming into the state each year. And it's only in the last few years that I think South Dakotans have recognized that, hey, things could change here just like they changed in other regions of the country. So we've got 30 years experience, and we're hoping to bring some of that experience here to South Dakota so that we can do a better job putting better and more projects out there on the landscape.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Dave Nomsen, who's the new Pheasants Forever South Dakota director, just opening new offices in Brookings. Now, you mentioned the pheasant numbers having fallen over the past couple of years in the state. How much of that has to do, particularly last year, how much of that had to do with the weather, and how much of it had to do with the change in habitat, with the loss of native prairies and the decline in CRP lands?
Well, the answer is both, of course. But the habitat is the one central issue that we can address. We were really pleased to see Governor Dugard focus the Pheasant Habitat Summit on that particular element of habitat. But clearly weather has played a huge factor. We've had drought-related issues a couple, three times in the last decade, tough winters, wet springs and whatnot. And so that plays a factor as well. And the answer is high-quality, good habitats out there to get those birds through a variety of conditions.
How difficult is it to balance the interests of landowners and farmers with those of hunters and conservationists?
Well, there's always some challenges that need to address. But, one of the nice things is that management for pheasants and South Dakota agriculture can coexist and go hand in hand. For example, right now, one of our priorities is to encourage the use of pollinator projects that can be great for South Dakota's honey and bee industry. Those same projects that are good for South Dakota agriculture are great brood habitat for pheasants and quail as well. So there's a win-win right there on habitats that's needed by European honeybees, native pollinators, an entire array of wildlife species, including pheasants.
There's been, as you mentioned, bees. There's been quite a bit of talk about the decline with bee populations, as well as the decline in the pheasant population. Do you think it takes, I don't know if you know the word crisis, but do you think it takes situations like this to make people step back and take a broader view of what's happening regarding the habitat and preservation of lands?
Unfortunately, it does. And last year's severe drop on the pheasant population, a 64% statewide reduction, was certainly kind of a wake-up call that's got more people taking a look across that landscape and thinking a little bit about what we can do to sustain a healthy agricultural economy here, have strong farms and ranches, but also have good pheasant populations that are out there as well.
You've mentioned the CRP, Conservation Reserve Program. You've been a vocal supporter of that over the years through Pheasants Forever. What's the situation right now with the sign-up of acres? Is that still going on with the USDA?
It's still going on. The program is, of course, continuing to evolve as it approaches its 30-year history now. We have moved to a CRP that is much more targeted than what it used to be. We're trying to plant better mixes of grasses and forbs on CRP lands to make each acre a little more efficient, a little more effective for wildlife. But right now, there are some programs within CRP that are available, such as the CRP Safe Sign-Up here in South Dakota, where you can go in and actually sign up for acres that are specifically designed to benefit pheasants.
And that's the State Acres for Wildlife Enhancement Practice, and I read you had something to do with the creation of that?
Yeah, and actually the first practice nationwide was dedicated here in South Dakota back in, I believe, 2007.
For you, I'm curious, how long have you yourself been interested in pheasants?
Well, the answer is a bit genetically related here. My father was the pheasant biologist for the state of Iowa after World War II, and so it must be deep across the family here in interest in pheasants and wildlife habitat.
So you just grew up with pheasants then, or at least looking into the biology of the bird.
You know, I did, and then of course when I chose to come here to South Dakota State. It's such an outdoor state. It's one of the great reasons that a lot of kids like myself back then came to Brookings.
And do you have time to hunt during the fall?
Well, I'm going to make time. And actually, I've already hired my first staff person for our new office. Her name is Dakota Bell, and she's 11 weeks old, a little British Labrador, and she's asleep right at my feet right now.
Oh, sounds like fun. Are the offices, where are the offices in Brookings?
We're going to be located in the South Dakota Innovation Center, right here at Research Park, adjacent to the campus.
Okay, how long have the offices been open? I read that it was this week, or have they been out open for a bit?
Well, the announcement was just made this week about the office. I'm going to be over there probably within the next 2 weeks, and we will be starting to advertise for a couple of new staff positions to help me in the office here.
Now, you mentioned that you're going to Wilmot later today, continuing to travel around the state. Is that probably the main thing that you'll be doing, at least as you get established here?
You know, I am right now. Our focus is going to be primarily on delivery of more and better projects and the funding for them, you know, out across that agricultural landscape. So the office may be located here, but our real effort is going to be getting additional resources into the field where they can work with local farmers and ranchers every day.
Any particular challenges you see ahead?
Well, there's certainly always challenges. Commodity prices and land values have a big influence on land use decisions. But, you know, from my chair, conservation programs and programs that benefit wildlife habitat also provide benefits to all South Dakotans, whether you hunt or not. A good habitat project is great for soil health, for water quality, groundwater recharge. And, of course, they're going to benefit a huge array of wildlife species as well that all South Dakotans enjoy.
All right. Well, Dave, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday. And welcome to South Dakota, or I should say welcome back to South Dakota.
Thank you very much. You have a nice day.
Thank you. That's Dave Nomsen. He's the new South Dakota director of Pheasants Forever. He opened offices in Brookings this week. State Game Fish and Parks Upland game biologist Travis Runia, by the way, said last week on Dakota Midday that the lack of snow on the ground this winter and the relatively dry spring in most of South Dakota are good signs that the population of pheasants could be up this year. You can hear more of that conversation on our website at sdpb.org.